time for Cigar Talk, the fastest growing cigar show in the nation. Whether you're a new cigar enthusiast or a cigar aficionado, we have something for everyone. Bringing you the best interviews, cigar reviews. So grab yourself a cigar.
It's time to light them up.
And welcome back to Cigar Talk. How you guys doing today? Oh, shit, we got Jerkins up there. That's not what I meant to do. We did away with Jerkins.
No longer a sponsor.
Yeah, you know, they had their run.
Yes.
I guess you'd say they ran their course.
It was a smooth run.
But anyway, hey, guys, thanks for tuning in. We've got a great show lined up for you. I'm your host, Rob Jones. We got Larry, Big Larry, in the co-pilot seat. Welcome back, bro.
Hello, everybody. Thanks, man. Hey, man. Well, so good to be back.
Dude, I mean, it was like you were gone for a while. Yeah. Whoa, 2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
I want to just take a little opportunity to just, you know.
Welcome back.
There you go, baby. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah. We missed you.
I missed you all.
Glad you had a good trip.
I did.
You went up to Baltimore, saw your mother.
Went to Baltimore, went to
97?
Pennsylvania. My mom, yeah, she's not. She'll be 98 in July.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a really good trip. Caught up with an old friend of mine in Pennsylvania I hadn't seen in a while.
Y'all do anything illegal?
No.
Okay.
No,
because you got a cutter on you?
We'll
bar cutter for your
lives. There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So when you went up to Baltimore from Texas, like, what was your route? Like, how do you get to Baltimore? I figure you'd take a left turn at Albuquerque.
No, that'd be going west. No, I took 20 to 30 to 40 to 81. And
40 cuts across, like in what, Oklahoma?
Yeah, but I went up into Arkansas.
Oh, gotcha.
So I went up to Texarkana, then into Arkansas.
That's such a pretty part of the country, dude. Northern part of Arkansas and into Missouri.
Yeah. And then, And so then I went up 40 to, and then I hit, went through Memphis, Nashville, Knoxville, into Virginia.
And was it still too cold, or was like the Ozarks starting to come out?
It was chilly. It was chilly.
Like the greenery. Was it out yet?
Yeah, it was getting there. Yeah.
So while you were gone, man, Abilene exploded.
Wow.
We had a couple of rainy days.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, everything. Right after that, we had summer.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. It was crazy.
That was over today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, let's talk about what we're going to have on the show this week. We're going to talk about some unique pairings.
All right.
The art of pairing cigars with not just bourbon.
That's right.
There's lots of cool stuff to pair with.
Sure,
like,
is.
That really will blow out of the park what you think that you could pair something with.
And it's not all alcohol.
Oh, no. A lot of them's not alcohol.
We do like the bourbon.
I mean, we'll talk about that a little bit later. We're also going to revisit cigar etiquette.
All right.
You know, there's a lot of guys I see coming in the lounge that, and here's the thing, you can't get pissed. They don't know what they don't know.
Yeah. That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
I mean, you get a little pissed when you got a guy that's been smoking for 5 years that stomps out a $22 cigar in the ashtray.
Yeah, yeah. Or licks on the end of a cigar and then uses a shop cutter.
Oh, yeah. That's always a classic. Yeah. We'll get into that. And then we will be talking about exploring rare and limited cigars.
All right.
I mean, are they worth the hype? Are they worth the money? Because some of those cigars get pretty pricey.
They do.
And I know I've had my fair share. Some of them I really enjoyed, and some of them I was like, wow, mm-hmm. I got taken. But we'll talk about that too. And of course, we will have this week's Showcase 6.
All right.
I'm thinking we're going to change the name of that one last time to the Showcase Showdown, like me against you.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
All right. Or whoever else is in this chair.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, anyway, that's what the show's got lined up, guys. Let's tell everybody what we're smoking right now. We'll start with Larry.
I am finishing up this delicious Rocky Patel Edge Maduro.
This is
a Toro, and it was great.
Not a torpedo.
No, not a torpedo.
That's, you know, every time I get one of those, it's always the torpedo. Yeah, have you smoked the torpedoes?
I have. I don't smoke a lot of torpedoes. I don't know why. I just don't really enjoy torpedoes. I mean,
you
they
prefer
taste fine.
Circumcised. I got it. Yeah.
All right.
You don't want that foreskin.
Okay. Sorry. All right. What's next?
I am smoking the Madre Tierra Habano. This was sent to us a couple of weeks ago, and I've been smoking. This is the last one. I've been, you know, I didn't smoke through them every day.
Mm-hmm.
It was like I'd smoke one, take 2 or 3 days off, smoke mm-hmm. another one.
Yeah.
And so this is the last one. And I got to say, overall, I've enjoyed the hell out of them.
Oh, good.
And so this is the last one. And, you know, the construction has been really good on every one of them.
Each and every one. Quality control, baby.
That's a big deal. Control. And they're a new company.
That's
like
great.
Brand new.
All right.
We're going to have the owner on the show mm-hmm. in the very near future. But I just want to say thank you for sending us these cigars. And it's been a nice little, like, something I'm not used to.
All right.
And, you know, I love trying new stuff.
Nice to branch out.
And I'm pairing it tonight with the small batch 1792. Last week we were doing the, the foolproof 1792. But
I'm glad I missed that.
Small batch is here and can't beat it.
Mm.
I mean, this right here, 1792 and Elijah Craig,
mm-hmm.
small batch, both of them.
Okay.
Can't beat it.
Yeah.
Like a sore pecker. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Good bourbons.
You're not going to beat that.
Good choice. Good choices there.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking some of the Benchmark Top Floor. Mm. You know, this has become my go-to bourbon. Got it from my friends.
That's because you're trying to cut back and you like that 86 proof.
I do. Plus, I like that price point.
Yeah. Oh, well, you can't beat that either. Talk about a sore pecker.
Yeah. No, got that from our friends at Best Price Liquors at North 6 and Willis here in Abilene.
Yeah, if you get a chance to go by North 6th, by Best
North 6th and Willis, Liquor, yes.
They got great prices.
They sure do.
It's not even close.
That's why they're called Best Price, I think.
Like, I went over to, Lone Star?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm not going to pay $10 more for a bottle that over here is $47.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I pay $57?
Well, maybe you just had $20.
That's a 20% increase.
Get away with. Yeah,
20% is too much.
Yeah.
10%, I can swallow that but not doing 20.
Yeah, no. Sam's having trouble over there. I don't like to give out my money unnecessarily. You know, so no,
because every dime I give out extra is a little less bourbon I can buy.
That's right.
One less cigar stick I can
buy. That's right. That's right.
And I mean, you know, we smoke a lot.
Yeah. So we want to support those places that recognize that we have limited budgets.
Yeah.
And they want to take care of us.
Well, I was just saying, we're working men. Well, I'm a working man.
Oh, Rob.
Yeah.
It'll be okay.
But anyway, hey, before we jump into everything, let me get my notes here. Let's talk about Macau Cigars.
Let's talk.
Like, I am so, you know, we got some McAuliffe Black coming.
Oh, thank you.
I have been, McAuliffe Black. Of course, you know, we always got the McAuliffe Medallia coming. That's just the standard.
Yes.
Like, I don't even have to tell them that.
They know. Oh, this is going to Rob. Got to be some medallias in there.
So if you haven't tried them out, check them out, man. They've got a budget for everyone. They got a cigar for every palate.
Yes, they do. They do. And that McAuliffe.
And they're budget friendly.
Yes, they are. They are.
I mean, Cigar Authority named McAuliffe Black Cigar of the Year, and it's an $8 stick.
Cannot go wrong with
that. I mean, you got to give props to Dave over at the Cigar Authority. That dude's been in the business for a long time. He don't bullshit.
That's right. Dave keeps it real.
He does. I like that dude. He's a Yankee, though.
That's okay.
Eh.
That's okay.
I'm just messing with you. I like Dave. You know what? I respect him. He's a trailblazer. He's a pioneer. He's the OG when it comes to cigar podcasting.
Yes. Yes, you've talked about that.
Some people would say, well, what about Cigar Dave? And I'm like, well, Cigar Dave was on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And that dude was a dick. You know what? Here's the thing. I'm just joking. I don't know Dave or Cigar Dave, but his show was not really about cigars. Mm-hmm. It was mainly politics. Oh, and, you know, I don't give a shit about that stuff.
No.
But because he smoked a cigar or two during the show, and his show's like 3 or 4 hours, I'm like,
Only a cigar or two in 3 or 4 hours?
Well, I don't.
He's a lightweight.
Yeah, yeah. But he's a showboater, you know. But anyway, hats off to that dude, too. But it's not my vibe. I'm not a political man.
That's right.
You know, if anybody asks me about politics, I'm like, kill them all. Let God sort them out.
Let's start over.
Oh, yeah. Start over. I mean, the two people running for office this year, what are they, 157 years old combined?
All right, let's get off politics.
I'm just saying, the best we can do.
It's what we've done.
You should have run.
No.
I would have voted for you.
No.
Sam could have run. I would have voted for him.
I'd vote for Sam.
Yeah. I just think we could do better, folks. Quit getting sucked in by all the media BS. There's got to be somebody out there that is under 70. I mean, do we want Ed being president? No. Think, they're both older than Ed.
I'm reeling it in.
I see it, but it just kind of chaps me then.
I know. Okay. All
right. 77 and 80. Like, dude. And not that I discriminate against old people, but I have friends that are old people, and I'm like, no, those people should not be president. Yeah. Ed can't remember where he left his hearing aids. We love Ed.
I have his bottle of water in my truck. He left it when I took him home this afternoon.
Exactly. Anyway, we'll keep moving on about that. Hey, guys, next sponsor up is Rabbit Air. Mm. You don't see any smoke in here, do you?
No, because the Rabbit Air is on low, people. It's on low.
You can't hear it. You can see it if you look up there, but you can't see no smoke. No, not them, you. You can see it.
I do see it.
Yeah. You know what I did today? You asked me what I was doing because you were late, and I took that down, and I actually cleaned out all the filter sections.
All right.
There's four different filters in
there. Oh, man.
There's like the first, well, actually five. It's got that metal, real fine mesh screen, and then it's got like, you remember the old stuff that the air conditioners had that like the water ran down through?
Yeah.
It has something like that, but it's real thin.
Okay.
And then there's a charcoal screen.
All right.
And then there's a big wide HEPA filter medical grade. Mm-hmm. So you have five layers.
They've done their homework.
Yeah. And I cleaned out the dirt and it said, oh, thank you. I think they had a couple of rabbit babies. But anyway, hey, let's jump into the art of pairing.
Let's talk about it.
So one of the things that I love pairing with is coffee. Like, there are so many options. Yeah. And the thing about it is, now I'm kind of, you're particular about your coffee, aren't you? Like, what kind of blend do you like, or do you care?
Yeah, so I've been drinking mostly HEB coffee, which is, for those of you who are not in Texas.
HEB has some good coffee.
Yeah, and for those of you not in Texas, HEB is one of the big grocery store chains, and it's headquartered here in Texas. I drink a lot of HEB coffee.
They kind of cater to minorities, don't they?
In some areas, it seems that way.
I mean, maybe not cater. No.
But they have big support.
Yeah. And what I mean by that is, what I love going in there is I get all the minority type food more so than, say, if I go to United.
Right. Yes.
You know what I mean? Like the selection of your tacos, meat, your chicken, fajitas, all that stuff is way better over at HEB. Yeah,
it is.
I mean, it's not just for the minority type food. It's also, I mean, like their seafood.
Yes.
Way better.
Yeah. Yeah, they got great seafood. But they have my two favorites from HEB. They have one's called Houston Blend, and then they have another one called Taste of San Antonio.
What the hell is Houston Blend?
Some coffee. They have coffee that
you drink it and it shoots you.
they have coffee from different areas of the state. There's the Houston Blend, there's the Taste of San Antonio. Those are my two favorites. There's a Taste of Austin, there's a Taste of Abilene.
Are you serious?
Yes, there is. It's pretty good, too. There's a Hubs.
Probably tastes like God.
They have there's one called Taste of the Hill Country, and they have a Hub City blend.
Ooh.
So you know what that's all about,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lubbock.
A little Lubbockian coffee.
Right. Yes, yes.
It probably tastes like ass.
Yeah, I've never had that one.
Yeah. Dirt. Red dirt. Mm-hmm. That's really, when you live in Lubbock, you taste red dirt often because the wind's blowing 50 and there's just dirt.
If the wind blows hard enough, you get some of it here in Abilene too.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You got that cutter over there still?
I think I do, but oh, there it is. I was a little Easter egg hunt.
Thank you. Thank you.
But think about it. For me, I'm kind of a coffee snob.
Yes.
And it's not like I never intended to be that. And I don't even see it as being a snob.
No, that's what I was
going to
say.
I just like really good coffee.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to say. Once you get used to really good coffee.
You don't want to drink garbage.
Like, I will not go into a convenience store and buy coffee.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just not doing it.
Yeah. If I'm desperate, normally, like if I'm on the road. But no. It's like, again, it's not being a snob. It's just liking good coffee. You know, not drinking trash.
And here in Abilene, the best coffee in town is at the Leaf.
Yes.
100%. Yes. Like, not even close.
There's not a doubt. There's no
Where'd
doubt.
Where'd you get that Big Sky?
You gave it to me before I left.
Very nice. Yeah. I want to know how you like that.
Yeah, I'm going to let you know
I
here
liked
in a minute.
Everything they sent us. I was a big fan.
Ooh.
Rich.
I may not even smoke.
Yeah. Oh, well, pass it on over.
No, never mind. Oh, that's.
But like for me, when I smoke a bold cigar, and I'll give you an example, like my father, Lee Bijou. Like, I'm going to pair that with a bold coffee, like straight up dark roast Colombian.
There you go.
Now, the Kenya AA, I'm not a fan. Have you ever tried that one?
I have.
It's very acidic. I mean, it is bold, but it's a little too acidic for me. And so, like, you know, Thick, he loves that Kenya AA.
Yeah.
But, like, I really enjoy the Brazilian dark roast, the Costa Rican. Like the Costa Rican, though, it's a dark roast, but man, it pairs so well with a medium cigar that has a little sweetness to it. Or a good, like, dark Maduro that's not strong, but it has that sweetness from the sugar fermenting and aging on the wrapper. You know what I mean? You ever get one of those?
Yeah.
It's so good. But I mean, like all the coffees I'm a big fan of, except for the Kenya A. And what's that Peabody coffee? You know which one I'm talking about, Sam? It's something. Anyway, it's not Peabody. That's not even close, but you should get the idea from that. It's like some coffee that is like, when they tell you the name of it, you're like, I have no idea where that is.
He doesn't know.
Oh, okay. Anyway, let's jump into the next one. You guys kind of experienced this one.
Yes, we did.
This weekend. So I wasn't able to make it due to that I was working. But you guys had a bourbon tasting this weekend.
Rum tasting.
Oh, sorry. We're doing the bourbon tasting.
Every show.
How was that?
Man, that was an experience.
How
it was good.
How many different rums did you try?
Well, we had 8 rums. Nine different rums.
Did you try them all?
I did.
And how much are you sipping when you try one?
Just literally. I mean, so.
You pour this much?
No.
No. Okay.
No, not even that much. Yeah, about 3/4 of that. About 3/4 of that. Yeah. Because.
So you're pouring about a finger.
Almost a finger. So my fingers are bigger. You know, you got to keep in mind, we had 9 of them to try.
Right.
And
that's
then
a lot of bourbon.
Then we all had places to go afterwards.
Bourbon. That's a lot of rum.
Yeah. Yeah.
So which was your favorite?
You know, I can't narrow it down. There were 3 or 4 that I really enjoyed.
Give me your top 3.
My top 3, I'd say, would be there was one called Pilar, which is not a white rum, not a dark rum. They call it a blonde rum. Had a little bit of color to it, and that was based on something.
Did it act real dumb? Sorry, go ahead.
This was.
Or did you act dumb after drinking it?
You want to step outside? No, it was unique. It had a lot of flavor, very complex. I can't even really tell you what we tasted. It was not sweet at all. Almost had kind of an aromatic, you would say, Sam, kind of an aromatic taste to it almost. But not like the aromatic flavor you get from gin.
Oh,
yeah, I know. And it was incredibly smooth. So this was based on something about Ernest Hemingway and the different ports that he visited. And this rum was kind of based on that. So it had a little bit from all these different ports in it. Like a seaport.
Would you say it was complex?
Yes. Yes.
Multiple notes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And man, it was so good. So,
do you remember the proof on that one?
It was probably somewhere, 80? I'd say between 80 to 86.
Okay.
Most of them. I think we had one that was 100 proof. We'll talk about that. And then we'll
That's
never.
That's the one Ed again. Brought.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
He was like, I ain't going to be there. Y'all try this shit. This tastes like ass.
You know, now y'all, I'll think try about it. He might.
There's a reason he wasn't there. Ed brings good stuff and he drinks with you, but when he sends stuff,
stay away from it.
So what was another one of your favorites?
So the Pilar was good, and then
what were you smoking while you were trying all these rums? Did you select a general type cigar that will pair with many things, or like?
I'm pretty sure I had a Maduro, but I can't remember which
one. Was it the Flathead 660?
It was not.
No,
you know what? It was, thank you, it was the 554.
Okay, because I think that blend would be a very good cigar blend to pair with multiple different flavor profiles of rum.
Yes.
Because it's got that sweet wrapper, not sweet like injected with sweetness, but just a little bit of sugar on it, you know what I mean? Like a sugar tit. Yeah. And hey, would you hit the button over there, please? Thank you.
Be glad to.
Boom.
Get it?
Yes. And so I think that's a great cigar to pair with different rums. Number three.
Did I say two already?
I don't know.
No, I didn't. So we had to get past the Pilar.
Speed the hell up.
You interrupted me again. So the Pilar would be one of mine, and then the other one I'd say was the Sam bought the Florida Cana, 18-year-old.
Okay,
and that was an excellent rum.
Incredibly Florida Cana is a good rum.
They are.
I think I've had the 12, very good. Yeah.
I've had the 7-year. They have a 7-year-old Grand Reserve, which I've had, and then this 18-year-old is the only. They have a 4-year-old that I had too. I thought it was awful. But the 7-year-old was very good.
Go around
sipping,
telling people about
sipping
that.
Rum. Yeah, that's a good point. And the 18-year-old was very good. And then I picked up a bottle when I was in Baltimore. I picked up a bottle of Appleton Estate. It's a Jamaican rum.
How was that?
I don't know anything about it. I didn't know anything about it. I'd never had it before. It was great. Incredibly smooth. Had a really, really clean taste to it. It was kind of an amber color, but man, it was good. And everybody really enjoyed it too.
Nice.
I think everybody enjoyed the Grand Reserve. At Total Wine in Baltimore.
Oh, wow. Yep. Brought it back.
Yeah, brought it back with me.
Is that legal?
Well, hope so. And then also, Presley brought a lot of rum with him. Thank you, Presley.
Presley's a connoisseur of spirits.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Across the board.
He is. And he's not a big drinker either. He's not a big drinker, but he likes to try different things.
And he likes to share.
Yes, he does. Yes, he sure does.
Those are our favorite kind of people, folks.
Yeah, unlike some other people we know. Going to remain nameless. He had a Bacardi 10-year-old. And it was.
Did it have any color to it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all the other Bacardi's all clear.
No.
You know, well, no,
they're not.
Like the cheap ones.
Yeah.
Regular Bacardi,
like,
the Bacardi
you call the
151.
The 151's not clear either. It's got an amber color to it.
I've had one that's clear.
I've never seen that before.
I think it's called 151 Silver.
Okay, I have not seen that, because I'm not a big rum.
I made that up. I remember one being
It sounded
clear.
Convincible. So the Bacardi Silver, that's what I call their entry-level rum, Bacardi. Most people refer to that as white rum, but yeah, they call it silver. And that's what, people drink that with rum and Coke. You know, somebody's going to have a rum and Coke. That's what they drink. That's what they make a rum and Coke
Now, do you know what they make rum from?
Sugar cane.
Yeah, in Mostly. A roundabout way, but that's not really where it comes from.
Okay.
Molasses. Bootstrap molasses It's dark. It's thick.
Okay.
I watched a 2-hour video on how to make rum this week, and I almost decided I was going to try to make it. And the first half, I'm like, I got that shit. I'm going to do it. And then they got to the second half, and I was like, oh, hell no.
A little too much.
The distillery part. Yeah. I'm like, using a distillery apparatus that's like $8,000.
Okay.
I'm like, yeah, I'm out.
Yeah.
I don't like rum that much.
It was a good time. I'm sorry you couldn't make it.
Yeah.
It was.
You know what's funny is I bought that bottle of Dominicana or whatever it's called, and Diplomatico.
Diplomatico.
And so I had a glass of that the night before, and it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not like chomping at the bits to have some more of it.
To knock your socks off.
Yeah.
You rarely wear socks.
At the same time, I don't really enjoy what rum does to me.
Well, apparently, most people had that problem on Saturday.
Like, bourbon is just, like, straightforward.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Rum likes to circle around behind you and club you in the back of the head. Like you didn't see it coming. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes, yes.
And so, dude, even just off of drinking one, I was like,
ooh,
I feel a little different. I
think I'll take a nap.
Yeah. And so I've had a little bit of rum here and there,
mm-hmm.
but I've never had mm-hmm. enough that like I ever got like, well, I guess you would say a buzz.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned is the buzz is a lot different than bourbon.
Yeah. Well, we all learned that on
bourbon
on,
makes me funny. At least I think so.
You're the only one in this room that feels that way.
That's because Sam left.
Yeah. No, the you know, we last month we did a tequila tasting,
mm-hmm.
and it was very enjoyable. A lot of different tequilas and mezcals, and that was quite an experience. But the rum hit
did
everybody.
The mezcal different. Have a worm in it.
No, it did not.
Okay. Because, you know, Presley brought one that did have yeah. a worm in it, and I drank that.
Mm-hmm.
Not the worm.
Okay.
But booze that had a bug in it.
Yeah. You know, years ago, when I was in San Angelo, a friend of mine had invited me over for Thanksgiving dinner, and I got there, and he was passed out on his living room floor. When I left, he was passed out on his living room floor.
Passed out when you got there?
Yes. And when I left, and when I went back the next day, he was still on the living room floor. I don't think he had moved. They'd check every now and then, make sure he was still breathing. He had ate the worm.
Mm.
And I'm told that
orally.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Not anally.
Yeah. And I'm told that the worm, some people have told me the worm can have that effect on folks.
Really? I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Hey, so... all right, let's jump into a couple other things with pairings.
Yes.
So also, don't just think about like coffee or bourbon or rum or other spirits. You can also do things like chocolate.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, that's a really good pairing with certain mm-hmm. cigars. And for some reason, I just think of the, I've got to think for a minute. It's a Saka cigar. It's the one with the Irish cross. What's that one called? I'll circle back around.
It's called the one with the Irish cross.
No.
That's what it says.
It's called the Mi Sempre Miso.
Okay.
And that has a really delicate, like, chocolate profile to it.
Mm-hmm.
You have yourself some either dark chocolate or some semi-sweet chocolate. And it, like, wow.
Really?
Yes. And then another one that I really enjoy is a medium plus spicy cigar, earthy cigar, leather cigar with a root beer.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great pairing.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I'll tell you this, you give me a really stout cigar, give me a little piece of licorice.
Wow.
Because, you know, the real licorice, yeah. not the... Twizzlers,
yeah.
Not that syrup they freeze.
That's where I thought you were going.
No. Real. It's. I mean, have you ever had real licorice?
I guess I have not.
Oh,
maybe I haven't.
Like you've seen Twizzlers.
Yes,
it's shiny.
Yeah.
No, real licorice is like not shiny at all,
mm-hmm.
and when you break it, it doesn't like tear cleanly. It like tears in pieces, mm-hmm. and it's
like
very
beef jerky.
Almost like that, but it's very earthy.
Okay.
Root.
Okay.
Like the, that's root. Where they get it.
Yeah.
It's a licorice. Mm-hmm. It's a root. And so that's a really good pairing.
Anise. A-N-I-S-E.
Not anus.
You're right.
Anise.
Yeah, anise.
Good, good, good. So when you have a cigar and you want to try to experiment with your palate, highly recommend trying some different pairings. And I mean, there's a million outside of what we just talked about. You know, I remember a few years back, we were at a little get together and Ed showed up with Dewar's 21. And I was drinking it out of a solo cup because, you know, that's how I roll. Yes, I'm classy. Yeah. And so I had a little pour of that and it was in my solo cup and I'm swirling it around. I'm smelling it. And I'm like, I recognize that smell, but I can't put my finger on it. But I knew it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I took a sip and I was like, yeah, there it is again. What is that? I know it. And then all of a sudden it hit me. Chocolate covered cherries.
Ooh.
And I was like, now that would be something to pair some chocolate with.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I'm not a Scotch guy.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know, Dewar's is actually, who's the rum that you said a while ago, the 151? Who makes that?
Ron Bacardi.
Bacardi owns Dewar's.
Oh. Yeah, you know what? I think I knew that.
And I'm like,
I think I remember reading
that.
So
really, it's not even a scotch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, technically it is, but I'm like, you can't have Bacardi owning a scotch. That's just not even right.
That's why they didn't put their name on it. But there's a heritage there, and I'm sure it's still distilled the same place.
I enjoyed it.
Hopefully they still
use it. I really did enjoy it, and since then, I've really turned my nose up at scotch in general.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy it. Once I became like
bourbon
drunk, I'm like, I don't want no scotch. This does me just fine. But no, I just don't care for the scotch. It is a completely different. Now here's something interesting. The Japanese on their bourbons,
mm-hmm.
whiskeys, they do something completely different to take away that peat, and they actually do some black magic stuff,
mm-hmm.
and it makes it like no longer have that twang that scotch has. Mm-hmm. And they do it on purpose.
Yeah.
But I just heard that last week and I can't remember the details, so I probably shouldn't have brought it up, but I did.
I'll have to research because now I'm interested. So I'll have to research that a little bit and see if there's anything I can find out. one of the other things that people have talked about, and a friend of mine, Amber, has talked about when, because she's not a whiskey drinker, but somebody told her one time, you should try it with wine. So I think that
try what with wine?
Cigars with wine.
You know, Sean can do that.
Yes.
Sean mm-hmm. O'Connor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hello, Sean.
But Sean is a like sommelier, whatever you call it, of spirits. Yeah.
Sean's an expert on
and cigars. Yeah.
And food.
And when Sean puts his mind that he likes something,
mm-hmm.
he's going to become an expert.
He's going to go all in.
100%.
Yeah, we love that. And then whenever we have a chance to talk to Sean, he educates us. He educates us too. He tells us some things that we didn't know before. He tells us some things that we probably would never have thought of if we weren't talking to him.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. But
Let me break in here. Are you in the Discord, the new Discord?
I am not.
Okay. We have a new Discord, guys. Yes, you have. I sent you a link yesterday.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I've been invited.
But anyway,
I should check.
Look down in the show notes. We scrapped the old Cigar Talk Discord. It was just too old, too much fat.
Are you talking about me now?
No.
Okay, thank you.
But we had a lot of people that were members of the old Discord that never got on. Mm-hmm. And if you're never going to get on, don't come in here in the first place. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just if you don't want to participate, don't.
Yeah.
You're not making me happy by joining and then never coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to be part of the community, we would love to have you.
But be an active and contributing member to the
community. And you don't have to come by every day, every minute of the day.
Check us out from time to time.
If you're in two or three times a week just to say, hey, this is what I've been smoking, we'd love to see what other people are smoking.
Yes. Yes, we do.
So
we get that gives us great ideas.
It really does.
Gives us things to, oh, we should check that out.
Right. Yeah. And so anyway, hey, you know what? Before we go on to our next subject, which is going to be Cigar Etiquette 101, we're going to take a quick break, guys. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back, guys. Thanks for hanging through the break. Since then, I have lit up a Nestor Miranda.
Ooh,
the Special Selection.
Did I get one of those?
I don't know if you did or not.
Oh, no, that's the one Sam left you.
Yeah, well, he didn't leave it for me.
Well, he left it.
He left, and it was on the table.
Hey.
And I was like, oh.
Possession is 9/10 of the law.
Boom.
You now possess that.
I do. I'm smoking.
Sam's gone.
I got a nice burn going here.
Yes, you
do. Look at that ash. Dude, these ashes have been like lights out. Mm-hmm. Did you see Sam's original ash was like that long?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, guys, hey, let's jump in right quick. Let's talk about artisanal tobacco.
Oh, yes.
El Popo.
Let's talk about the
Viva La Vida. And did you see that they have a new cigar?
I don't believe I did.
Maybe new's not the right word. It is the Viva La Vida 5-year anniversary limited edition.
No, I have not seen that.
Right?
Ooh.
So we don't have any of those. We're going to try to get our hands on some of those.
Let's do it.
Because I can only imagine how good that is. Hey, and so you guys know, we didn't do a live last week because our guest was sick, and we weren't going to do a live this week. And so next week we're going to do a live, and then on the 31st we're doing a live, and our guest on the 31st is Billy.
31st of when?
April.
There's only 30 days in April.
Okay, well, close enough.
Okay. I'm just want to
on throw, the 30th.
Just want to throw that out there.
Tuesday the 30th, I believe it is. And anyway, Billy's going to be on, and I can't wait to talk to him about the 5-year anniversary stick.
I'm checking that.
Like, I'm excited about that.
That'll be good.
So anyway, if you haven't smoked the El Popo, that's my number one cigar of the year last year, and it's made the top 10 Maduro list of this year, and everybody that smoked it around here has loved it.
Yes, we did. We
do. So, anyway, let's jump into the Cigar Etiquette 101.
Let's do it.
And here's the thing, guys. Don't skip ahead. You think, oh, I've been smoking for 5 years. I don't need to hear this bullshit.
You're the people
that, like, need to hear it the most.
Sometimes we all need a reminder.
That's true. So, first, right out the gate, this is a big one for me. Respect other people's personal space.
Yes.
Now, there's so many things that go into that.
Oh, yeah.
But mainly for me, be conscious of where you're blowing your smoke.
Yeah.
Like, it really gets my tail feathers up in a dander when somebody just puffs their smoke and it's just coming right at me. Yeah. Like, that takes away from my enjoyment.
Yeah, I can see that.
And you know, there's a like, if you are in a lounge that has smoke eaters,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a draft in a certain direction.
Yeah,
look and see where when you blow where it goes, so you're aware of it.
Yeah.
So many people just sit there and puff, 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 and they don't see where their smoke's going, and it's like, I want to knock the shit out of you. So anyway, that's my biggest one on personal space.
I feel fortunate that I've never seen your tail feathers.
Whew. Yeah, yeah. Some people have, though.
Yeah.
That's my brother, Russell.
Yeah. they're in therapy.
And, you know, a big part of that is try to avoid smoking cigars in a confined area.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, we've never had that problem with the studios. Mm-hmm. Even the old studio, we had pretty good air purification.
Yeah.
We had an air ventilation system.
Mm-hmm.
The studio here has the rabbit air.
The rabbit air.
And so
it's exquisite.
Now, the funny thing is, you think about this, if you're the only one smoking cigars and there's four or five people in your car, if you smoke, you're being a dick.
Yeah.
Now, I've been the dick.
I'm sure.
But I'll say, you know what? I grew up with my dad smoking cigarettes in the 70s, yeah, and the window was cracked about a 32nd of an inch.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can you roll down the window? And he's like, it is cracked. And I mean, he's holding it right there, and you can see like half of the smoke going out the window and the other half
coming in the back seat.
I was like, I can't breathe. It was a 1974 Buick Electra. Four-door, long, like what, 24 feet big long?
Something like that, yeah. They had a 127-inch wheelbase. They were built on the same wheelbase as the Cadillac DeVille series.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, back in the day, the Electra and the Olds and the Oldsmobile 98.
So we used to lay up in the back window. Yeah. We used to take pillows and put them in the floorboard and make that a bed. I mean, dude, we had three beds in the back.
Yeah, those were big. They were like caverns.
Not only were they long, they were wide.
Yes, yes. They were 6-passenger cars. But you could easily get 7, maybe 8 people on them.
If you had kids?
Yeah. Oh, they were like 10.
I mean, we didn't need seatbelts back then.
Everybody was just wedged in.
Yeah. I mean, nobody wore seatbelts in the 70s. Do you? Did you?
I think I usually did.
That's because you're weird.
Yes, 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 yes. And I wanted to stay alive.
We did not wear, because we didn't need them.
Yeah.
We were like,
well, y'all were wedged in like sardines.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. I remember in like 1978, 79, my brother Corey was 4. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry. He was 2. So that would have made him, it would have been 1977. But, you know, I told you every summer we would drive up to Canada.
Yeah.
And I mean, dude, driving from Sweetwater, Texas to Canada, that's a drive. And we would always go through Colorado up into, what's the big park? Yosemite?
Uh-huh.
Is that the park? No, Yellowstone.
Yellowstone.
And so we would go to Yellowstone, and one day we parked that big-ass Buick, like, on this road, or right up to the edge of where this parking lot was. Well, where we parked, there was no, like, railroad cross tie keeping the car where it was.
Ooh.
And so me, my mother, my dad, and my grandmother were all at the back with the trunk open getting stuff for sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause we were poor. And all of a sudden, and the car's still running. The car's running. My little brother, who's 2, had shifted into gear. And it starts going forward, and look, dude, it is like this, and then down to the river.
Oh my gosh.
And there's like 8 or 9 dudes jumping in front of the car trying to push it from rolling.
And that was a big car, too. That's a big, heavy car.
Yeah, what was that, like 8,000 pounds?
Crazy.
And anyway, I thought he was going to be a goner.
Mm-hmm.
They stopped him. Well, actually, my dad jumped in the car, slammed on the brake, threw it in park. But otherwise, it
been gone.
The guys pushing, they were going in the river too. There was no stopping it with their Hulk physiques.
Yeah. My dad had a 75 LeSabre. Wasn't quite that big, but almost. And yeah, heck of a car.
So that was the family car.
Yeah.
My dad's car at that time, and this is probably 77.
Mm-hmm.
Was a 1972 Grand Prix.
Oh man, those were nice.
White on white.
Remember
the?
Oh, dude, yes.
Do you remember that the seat?
Yeah. They had the swivel seat,
the swivel buckets to go out.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I remember my dad kept that car. Like when we got new cars, he was like, "Yeah, we're not getting rid of that one. That's a great car."
That was my favorite Grand Prix.
It's a good-looking car.
Yes, yes.
And the wheels, those Pontiacs.
Yes, yes.
But one night, I think I was a senior. So this has been 1987. My dad still had that car. And I was grounded. You know, I was grounded a lot. And
imagine that.
But I was a photographer for the high school. So for the newspaper. And so it was like a Thursday night. I told my mom, I was like, hey, I got to go take pictures of, no, it was Friday night because we played on Saturday night. And I said, we're playing Carnota this week, our big rival. That's where Tim went to school. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I was like, I got to go out and take pictures. People are decorating with streamers and all this shit. You know, my dad worked for the railroad. Mm-hmm. He got home about 2 a.m. He comes in and he's like, where's my car? And my mom says, oh, Robbie had to go take pictures for something. And he goes,
Robbie,
are you fucking for real? He don't need to go take pictures at 2 a.m. You know, my mom was pretty gullible. So my dad at that time, his work vehicle was a like a 82 Datsun pickup. And so he comes and he sees me. I'm coming towards Indiana at Lubbock, and instead of stopping at the light, I just cut through the parking lot of 7-Eleven doing like 40, you know, got on Indiana. I'm cruising down. I'm doing like 80.
Yeah.
Anyway, my dad can't catch us in that Datsun.
Four cylinder.
But when we got to Indiana and 50th, and I was stopped at the light, my dad pulled up next to us, and my buddy Mike, I've got you remember the old Twisted Sister, I'm Not Gonna Take It?
Yeah.
That song was playing, and Mike was beating that dashboard. We're not gonna take it! And I look over, and there's my dad, and he is just red. And he's like, you take that son of a bitch home right now! So anyway, my dad turned around, went home, and then I got home about, I guess, 20-25 minutes later, and he's like, where the fuck have you been? I told you to take that son of a bitch home. And I was like, I took him home. Yeah. He wasn't talking about my, he was talking about the car.
Yeah. And that was the Grand Prix back then. The stock was a 400.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it was. Yep. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was a pretty long car too.
Yeah.
For a two-door?
Yeah.
That was a real long car.
They were nice. I had a 73 Le Mans Sport. It was one of my favorite cars. I bought it.
Was the Le Mans a lot like the Grand Prix at that point?
Yes and no.
The Le Mans was always before like the GTO.
Yeah. But they had, obviously it was a two-door. Had bucket seats, had that long console, had the 400 V8. And dual had exhaust. That
shifter on the console.
Yes.
It's like a, you know, you stuck up
your little knob.
Yeah.
To push a button down in the middle to shift. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was blue. It was blue. The vinyl top was blue. The top was a little bit darker. And
the vinyl top on those weren't the whole roof. It was just like
this one was the entire.
Oh, it was
because the Le Mans was
But
they call it the what you're talking about, the half that was called the Landau. It was a Landau roof.
Most of the Grand Prix, was where the back seat started.
Yeah.
And only went back.
I think just about all the Grand Prix were like that.
Okay.
At least during that generation. Yeah, those things were pretty.
You know, about 4 years ago, it's been longer than that. About 9 years ago, I saw a 72 sky blue, two-tone blue Grand Prix in Clovis, New Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
$2,000. 87,000 miles. And I was like, dude, I'm on my way.
Yeah.
You know, that's 5 hours from here. Yeah. I'm like, I'm headed that way, bro.
Yeah.
So anyway, I go by Lubbock and pick up my dad. I'm like, hey, this is the car. And he loves the Grand Prix because he had one for so long. And so we ride over there. And on the way over there, I call the dude like 2 or 3 times. He don't answer. And I'm like, you know, he's probably busy, whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, we get there. And I've called him like 8 or 9 times and he ain't answering. We sit at a Taco Villa literally for like 3 hours, and I'm calling like every 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And finally the dude answers, and he's like, hey, man, I had to come down to Berlin to get the car, and we're on our way back. So we're going to be there in about an hour, hour and a half. And I'm like, okay, cool. As long as I know, I'm golden.
Yeah, you get in the car.
2.5 hours later.
Oh, my.
He wasn't there, and he wasn't answering his phone.
Again.
So me and my dad sat over there for like 7 hours and came back empty-handed.
Wow.
Wow. I was so pissed.
It was a Grand Prix.
Yeah. And it was, dude, you remember that blue that almost looked silver?
Yeah.
It was that blue.
Oh, man.
But it was two-tone because, like, on the hood, top, it was a darker.
The top of the hood, and then when you get down.
Over
that crease, over that pleat, yeah.
So it was like almost a silver blue, and then almost like a navy blue.
And that had to hurt.
Oh, yeah, yeah. 400. And, I saw the pictures. It looked nice.
Dual exhaust.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but you know what? I got to spend 7 hours with my dad.
Yeah. Well, that makes it worth it. It definitely makes it worth it. Hey, I don't have my glass. I need to step away for just a second.
All right. I'll sit here and play with my wiener.
Ooh.
Bing, ding, 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 ding.
Oh, there it is.
Hey, I thought you were getting your glass. You don't have to hold my wiener.
Couldn't find it if I wanted to.
Oh, no, I got it right here for you. I'm holding between my pinky and my thumb.
Couldn't find it if I wanted to. I'm back.
All right, here's what I was playing. All right, guys, so let's jump into the etiquette, okay? We kind of went off on a little rabbit hole there. Sorry about that.
Let's jump into this benchmark.
Rock and roll. Proper lighting and cutting techniques.
Let's do it.
So part of it is the proper cutting is don't suck on your cigar before you cut your cigar with a house cutter.
Don't ever do that.
Don't do it. As far as the lighting goes, it's not really so much etiquette as it is just good knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Toast the foot.
Yes.
And let me tell you this. I'm guilty of not doing this, okay? But you give me those cedar sticks.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way ever to light a cigar.
You know, and I've never done that.
Are you
and
serious?
I keep telling myself.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to get some and we'll do it on the next show.
You know, they had them at the Leaf for a while. I don't know if they still do, but.
So all you have to do is lots of cigar boxes have little cedar in them, and you can just break those off and use those. Okay. But, like, have you ever lit your cigar with a wooden match?
I have.
Okay, so you know how nice it is to have that soft flame. Well, when you do a cedar stick, you don't have just this little bitty stick like a match.
Yeah.
You got to push the button again. Okay, you got it. But when you have that big old thick plank, like the fire is that big.
Yeah.
So you're actually being able to light the entire tip at one time.
Yeah.
Or the foot.
Yeah.
People were like, oh, you don't call the foot the tip. You don't call the tip the foot. Well, you bend over and I'll tell you. Sorry. But anyway, really, just on the cutting, don't put your cigar in your mouth.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you this, too. If you're in a lounge and you go in and say you buy a $15 to $18 cigar, you cut it, okay? You cut it, and you take a cold draw.
Yes.
And you go, son of a bitch, it's plugged.
Yeah.
What do you do then? How do you tell the shop this is plugged? But they might want to try it out. Make sure that you're not full of shit. Maybe you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know what they do? They turn it around and take the draw from the foot.
Oh, okay.
That's how you, without slobbering all over each other, you know?
Yeah.
But I've done that several times. I've been like, hey, man, take a draw on this. And they're like, oh, yeah, get yourself another cigar. Hmm. And most shops will let you just go get another one. Now, you're going to get the same one.
Yeah.
You know, you're not trading it in for an Opus X.
You can't go from a factory smoke to an Opus X.
Right.
Yeah. So, I've been fortunate. That's never happened to me.
Okay.
Been very fortunate. But you smoke more cigars than I do.
You've never had a tight draw where you couldn't smoke it?
No.
Wow. Dude, I've had hundreds. I mean, I've had hundreds of tunnel draws.
No, I've had some tunnel. I've had some cigars tunnel on me from time to time.
I hate that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had one the other night that was tunneling on me, and you know what? The first half of the cigar was fantastic, and then the rest of the cigar was just not enjoyable because I was fighting it the whole time.
Yeah. You remember that time I had, I don't know what it was I was smoking. I was over here. I was having trouble with it, and you said, oh, let me see if I can fix that for you. And you just broke it in half and said, get another one.
Okay, that's not what I thought you were going to say, but yeah, that happened.
And I thought, because you said, let me fix that for you.
Wasn't that a Churchill?
I don't know.
Because it was long, and I just held it up in front of you, and I just broke it in half.
I don't know what it was.
And I was like, now go get another cigar. I'm not smoking that shit.
But I remember thinking, oh, what's he going to do to fix that? And then I saw, get another one.
Like, we're not dicking around.
And by the way, thank you.
Cheers, bro. Yeah, you know, here's the thing. Cigar smoking is about your experience.
Yeah. It should be an enjoyable experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you are not enjoying that cigar, why are you messing with it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, there are some occasions where I give it the old, what do you call it? The old college try.
Mm-hmm.
I'd think about that for a minute, folks, because I only went to college for one semester. But
as did I.
But I had a great time.
As did I.
Man, I had a good time.
As did
I. People are like, you regret not finishing? I'm like, no, I regret not continuing that first semester. Once I found out all the women were hanging out at the UC, I quit going to class.
There you were.
I was like, hey, I got to – oh. You're going to hang out? Yeah, I ain't got a class. I got, ooh, man, I was like Romeo. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Been there.
And I had a girlfriend. The worst ever.
Not been there.
Let me tell you this. So there was a girl in my music class. I don't even remember her name. But you know how you do the old googly eye from across the room. Mm. And, you know, you're kind of like, shaking your tail feather if you're a bird, being like, hey, look at what I'm doing, you know?
Hey, what, you're on this tail feather thing tonight. What's that all about?
I'll play you a song later. You'll get it. But anyway.
I'm scared.
You should be.
Yeah, I know.
We started talking, and I said, hey.
That's talking.
You're going to let me take you out tonight. And she's like, sure, let's do it. Or not tonight, tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Because it was Saturday.
Yeah.
And so this was my first date with a college girl.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exciting.
And my girlfriend was like 2 years younger than me.
Oh.
So she had just graduated high school.
Yeah.
And yeah, I started college late, guys, if you're doing the math, follow along. But
I have a calculator.
Anyway, here. We used to hang out at this bar called Speed's. And they served underage all day, every day. You know what I mean? It was like, and you know what our drink was back then when we were like 19 was kamikazes. I mean, it's strong,
mm-hmm.
It's sweet,
mm-hmm.
And you give a 19-year-old about 5 or 6 of those, he's hammered.
Yeah.
So we got the recipe, and you met my cousin Mark?
Yeah, Albany?
No.
No.
That's Randy.
I've met him then.
Okay, so Mark was with me, and so we went out to the strip and bought, underage, we could buy everywhere, okay? But we went and bought I think it was vodka, and what's the grenadine?
No.
What's the green shit? You're a former bartender.
Midori?
No, it's not alcohol. It's like part of a mixer. What's the green shit?
Sweet and sour.
Sweet and sour. Okay. So it was sweet and sour.
Remember, I'm colorblind.
Okay, well, it was, I forgot. 50-50, it was vodka and sweet and sour. And then you just put in a couple of dashes of the grenadine. That's a kamikaze.
Okay.
And so we made a gallon.
Of course
you did. And put it in a jug.
Of course you did.
And we're just passing around this milk jug with kamikazes.
Yeah, of course.
And so anyway, at some point during the night, we went down to Speed's. It was a billiards parlor. Mm-hmm. And they probably had like 16 tables. And so anyway, I'm with this chick and my cousin Mark's tagging along. And I'm like, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. I'll be back. So I go to the bathroom. I'm in there just whizzing, you know, enjoying myself. And I'm thinking, maybe I'm going to get lucky tonight. And so anyway, I open the door and there's my girlfriend and my date.
Oh, my.
Standing side by side and they look pissed.
My, my.
And I was like, hey. And all of a sudden, you know, I started getting it from both barrels. So I shut the door. It's like, they can't come in here. I'm safe.
Did they come in?
Nope.
Okay.
And I outwaited them. About an hour and a half. That's what it took.
I could stand here all night because if I got to go, I'm in the room already.
I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm sitting on the shitter with my jeans on. See what I mean? I'm like, hey, it's a chair. But yeah, that was an experience. When you open the door and see your girlfriend and your date
and the side chick, yeah.
I don't recommend you doing that, folks. If you're young and dumb or old and stupid,
don't do that.
I was young and dumb.
Yeah.
Don't be old and stupid.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
All right, so let's jump into pacing and the enjoyment. So pacing is, what that means is it's not a race to smoke your cigar.
That's true.
Are you getting to where you're taking longer?
Yeah, I am.
You notice Hatch has been since we got on her about it. Because, like, she smokes 2-1 to me.
Yeah.
But I used to smoke like that. Yeah. It's very easy to do, but I promise you, when you like intentionally slow down,
make it intentional. Yes, it will improve your experience
100%.
Yeah.
Like you don't even know. Like I didn't know when people were like, "Oh man, you're smoking them fast." I was like, "Hell yeah, I do." I was kind of proud.
So you know what I had to do was start. I had to start putting my cigar down.
See, I don't
hold
them.
Yeah, if I hold it in my hand, I'm going to keep smoking it. So I had to start putting mine down, put in the ashtray. So let me ask you this. Respect the cigar and respect the smoking process. But
we're not down that far, bro.
Oh, where were we?
We're up two.
We were ash
pacing
management
and enjoyment.
Okay, well. Good. Okay.
You following along?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm back.
I'm actually writing out a damn script for the show now. How about that?
Go, Rob.
But so people are like, well, what do I do to slow down? Okay. There's lots of different techniques because we all have a routine of how we smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And so like when you have a cigar this size or larger, look at this, like, when you get ready to start puffing on it, how many puffs do you take?
2-3.
2-3.
2-3.
I'm 99% of the time a 3 puffer.
Yeah.
But what I've learned is, like when I'm smoking a Lancero or a 5x42, you can't puff on it 3 times.
Yeah.
Because it's so small, it's going to get so hot that it starts ruining the flavor of the cigar.
Yeah.
So on that, I'm a 1 or 2 puffer. Now, if I'm doing a 1 puff, it's a long puff. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get the most out of that 1 puff. If it's a 2, it's a medium puff, medium puff. But you cannot do 3.
Yeah.
But so if you are doing a 3 puff or 4 puff on every size Vitola that you're smoking, that's an easy way to slow down your roll. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, all right, we'll start taking 2 puffs instead of 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's easy one.
Yeah, that does. That makes sense. That does make sense.
All right, what's the next one? Ash management. You got any wisdom on that?
So let the ash build up some, for starters. Let the ash build up some. And
you know, I was horrible at that at one time.
Yeah.
I mean, I constantly was tapping my ash.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do that?
Yeah, I did.
So, you know, 10 years before I ever even started smoking cigars, I smoked cigarettes for 24 years. And you just constantly are ashing a cigarette.
Yeah.
And so when I started smoking cigars, I kept doing that. But look at that ash right there.
Nice
ash. Like, it's not. It's probably what, quarter of an inch?
Yes.
But mm-hmm. that ash insulates the heat of the cherry on your cigar, and it regulates how it burns. Mm-hmm. If you're constantly taking the ash off of your cigar, it's getting too hot. Yeah. Because every time you puff in, the air is directly hitting the cherry.
So now tell people, what do you consider to be the cherry of the cigar?
The part that looks like it's burning like an anus on fire that has a hemorrhoid.
I should not have asked. As the words were coming out of my mouth, I thought, this is a bad question.
Maybe I should have made some shit up. So no, but you know what I'm, you know what the cherry is. Yeah. It's the glowing red hot part.
Yeah.
So,
remember, this is 101. So now, some people
also,
don't know.
Yeah, I get it. And then also, how do you put a cigar out? Don't show me.
When I'm finished, I lay it in the ashtray gently. I don't stub it out. I just lay it gently in the ashtray.
I think if you smash your cigar down to put it out, then you should have to like have your hands cuffed to the wall, and everybody in the lounge gets to punch you in the face.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
Because that is the most outrageous thing you could do. And here's the thing about a cigar. You have that ash on there. When I'm done with the cigar, mm-hmm. I normally just lay it just like that. I'm done. Now, if I smoke it down to the nub and I'm done, I lay it in the ashtray. Yeah. But normally, my cigar sometimes goes out when I lay it there.
Yeah.
Sometimes I relight it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm done.
Yeah.
And so just be conscious of what you're doing, because mm-hmm. smashing a cigar out like an old cigarette, it's offensive.
Yeah.
And it's not just offensive because we see you doing it. When you smash that cigar, it smokes mm-hmm. three times as much as if you just laid it right mm-hmm. there. You see how much, you can't even hardly see that that's mm-hmm. smoking. But I promise you, if you smash this down,
smoke,
it's like,
yeah.
And you know, Robert up at the Leaf, that dude smashed out a $22 cigar halfway through.
I heard about that.
Yeah, and it was his employee free cigar of the day. I'm like, I would have kicked your ass if I was Jay.
Yeah.
But that's me. That's why I'm not Jay. But anyway, all right, guys, let's move on to the next one. Respect the cigar. That, I mean, there's so much to talk about on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't just put... You go into a cigar shop and buy three cigars. Do you need to drive home or wherever it is that you're going and have them on your dashboard?
No.
Your seat? You don't need to be laying it on the seat with just by itself. It damn sure shouldn't be in the floorboard.
Yeah.
But I've had them there. Yeah. I even smoked one when it was there, and wow, that was a bad idea, folks. I was like, I don't know how long that cigar's been there. Apparently, it had been there for a while.
Yeah.
Also, about ashes, instead of like tapping or thumping, I just put it on the edge and roll.
So that's what I was going to ask you. Do you thump it or do you just kind of roll it off?
I roll it off. How do you do it?
I used to thump it now.
I used to thump it too.
The time I spent with you, I've learned to just kind of roll it off.
I mean, look, I just rolled that off. Mm-hmm. So you're not losing all of the ash.
That's right. Yep.
So that's anyway, right. So respect the cigar.
Mm-hmm. Respect it.
Put it in, hopefully you have it in a freaking bag. If you buy three or more cigars and they don't offer to put it in a bag, ask for a bag.
Yes, definitely.
And some cigar shops will even throw in a free Boveda pack.
Mm-hmm.
I would, you know what I mean? Even if they don't offer it, I'd be like, hey man, can I get a Boveda pack in there?
Yeah.
And if you have to buy one.
Buy one.
What, a dollar?
You don't know how long it's going to be until you get, especially if you don't know how long it's going to be until you get home to your, if you, hopefully you have a humidor.
Well, maybe you're not going straight home.
Yeah, that's right.
And so you don't need it just out there breathing the air.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not human.
Mm-hmm.
So then on the flip side of that, once you get it home, taking care of your cigar means having it properly humidified.
Yeah.
Case elegance, baby.
Oh, yeah.
You need a freaking humidor. Look in the show notes. You can save 10% by using our link. They don't give that 10% off to anybody else.
There is, I can't say enough good things about
Case Everybody Elegance. Associated with Cigar Talk has a Case Elegance humidor.
Yes.
And several have more than one.
Guilty as charged.
And Hatch has
is
three.
Guilty as charged. Yeah. And she loves them.
I've only got three. Yeah. I've got the two there, mm-hmm. and then I've got the jar. I love the jar.
That jar is fantastic.
I really do like it. Yeah. I really do.
So I would, full disclaimer, in terms of Case Elegance, all I have currently are the travel cases, but that's
the Lucia. No, something like that.
Yes. Close enough. A travel case.
Leander. Yeah.
But.
No, not the travel case. I'm talking about the one you're talking about where it has the door.
Yeah.
You like that
one. Yeah, I'm getting it. That's going to be my birthday
gift for
myself.
I just spoke the name of it, and I was like, dude's got chub.
Yeah. Yeah. The for my birthday this year, I'm getting one of those.
Okay, cool.
Going to do
those
it.
Those are, mm-hmm. I mean, we know what they make.
Michael Slade and his team.
And we know the team.
Oh, Michael and his team are doing great stuff.
They make a fantastic
product. The customer service.
When we've told this 100 times, if you're going to sponsor this show, we got to love your product, but we also have to love your company. And by your company, we mean your team.
Yes.
How do you treat people?
Yes. Yeah.
And they go above and beyond, and that's how they become a sponsor.
We love what Case Elegance does. Michael, if you're listening, again, thank you. Thank you, brother.
This morning, I said, hey, man, are you in London at like 5:55? No, it was at 3:55, but it was like 6:55 their time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yup.
All right.
Well, he's in London.
All right.
Yeah, I can't wait for him to get back. We're going to have him on the show next week, I believe.
Good deal.
Either next week or the week after.
Good deal.
So I want to talk to him about PCA. You know, this was a big PCA for them.
Yes.
So I'm excited to hear what they got. Also about protecting your cigars. You get them home, make sure they're humidified. That's a basic 101.
Yes, it is.
Also, though, like cellophane. You let's say you come home with two boxes of cigars. You're going to throw them down in your humidor. Do you take the cellophane off or do you leave the cellophane on?
I leave the cellophane on.
And why do you do that?
Well, a couple of reasons. One, it's just easier because I can just put them in the humidor. And also, just one. I leave the cellophane on because it's easier. I can just put them in the humidor.
Okay.
And I know there's some people that like, well, they want the cellophane on because it's going to change the flavor if I take the cellophane off, if there's other cigars in there. I don't know. I don't know about that.
Let me give you my opinion on it.
I'm waiting for it. Come on.
So back in the day when I used to post 1 million posts a day on social media, mm-hmm. every box of cigars I got, I took them all out of the cellophane and I stacked them in the humidor where they were all facing straight up. You know, everything was perfect.
Yes.
But it was because I was doing photo ops.
Yeah.
Now I'd never take them out of cellophane.
Yeah.
Because if your cigar needs humidity,
mm-hmm.
the cellophane just sucks it right through.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't hurt your cigar.
There you go.
Basically, for me, cellophane is put on your cigar to protect it in transit.
Right.
It's to protect it until you get it home.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to take it off when you get it home, don't take it off.
Yeah.
It's not doing you any favors by being on.
Yep.
Once you get it in your possession at home, how you treat it, it's all on you.
Yes.
And so I'm like, you know what? I'm not taking all those off. Dude, yeah. I used to throw away hundreds of those.
Yeah.
I still do, but yeah. Now it's onesies and twosies.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway.
Or threesies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Cigar Etiquette 101. We just want to throw a few basics out there for you. I know some of you are so amazingly badass that you don't need to hear those. So I appreciate if you listened to them. If you didn't, I completely understand.
And hopefully some of you learned something or at least have something else to
think
about.
I learn something every day.
Yes, you do. And then you forget it.
Yep, that's true. That's why I learn something every day. My wife's like, I told you that 3 days ago.
It's new now.
My wife told me, It must be amazing to wake up to a new day every day.
Yeah.
Well. You know what I said? It is.
It is.
All right, guys. Here we go into the next one, exploring rare and limited cigars.
Come on with it.
So, like, do you smoke much rare or limited editions? Because I don't think you
not
do.
Too often. No, not too often.
Yeah. And I mean, when you look at the big picture, I don't either.
Yeah.
Like, I do smoke them,
mm-hmm.
But then everything is, what do you call it? Everything is what? Relative.
Yes.
It's all relative.
Mm-hmm.
So what is a rare or special cigar to you is like, might not be special to somebody else.
That's right. Yeah. That's
it's true. Like for a lot of guys, Eagle Rare is special as it can be. For me, it's not special at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a good bourbon.
Yeah.
And at the MSRP price, it's a great bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that when nobody could get it and I got 9 bottles in 1 year, I got burnt out on it.
Yeah.
I was like, this isn't near as good as I thought it was. Yeah. And so with cigars, it's the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I enjoy some of the limited editions. And, like, one of the best ones I had was one of the ones that Sean gave me, which was, you know, the Stillwell from Zaka?
I haven't had that yet. I've heard good things
so,
about it.
But the one he gave me is not the one they have in the shop.
Oh.
It was a holiday edition.
Oh, my.
So, think this. Scheinerbach festive season, whatever the Christmas season mm-hmm. is. You know what, holiday season, mm-hmm. is that what it is?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
But you get those, like, holiday flavors.
Yeah.
Well, that cigar is like that.
Ooh.
And it was actually fantastic. Ooh. Like, I would not have thought that I would enjoy that if you told me the notes before I smoked it. But lighting it up, I was like, holy shit, this is completely way off from anything that I would normally enjoy.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the shit out of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've talked about this. Sean knows some good things about virtually everything, especially when it comes
to cigars. I'd say he knows a whole lot of things about things that we like.
Yeah, he does.
All right, guys, let's get on to it. So on the rare or limited edition cigars, like, I think it all starts with two different cigar brands. You got the Padron 1926,
ooh,
Family Reserve,
ooh, yes.
50th anniversary.
Oh, yes.
90th anniversary.
Yes.
You know, it's like all those cigars are, they're not rare, they're not limited, but they're special.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I got to put all of the Padron at a 1926 and up in that category.
Yeah.
Another category I got to go with is Opus X.
Yes.
I mean, what they did, what they started by growing tobacco in a field that was reserved only for the best of the best. Like, I don't know of any other company that's done that.
Yeah.
Maybe there is. I don't know. But all I do know is that Fuente was like, this has been a very special plot of land,
yeah.
and we will only grow Opus here.
Wow.
And so the regular Opus, I'm a fan. Now, Melanie Cisco Kidd gave me a few Opus.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was the Lancero. You know I'm not a big Lancero guy. But holy shit, that cigar was good. Wow. And so thank you, Melanie. That was a great gift.
She gave me one, too, when she was here.
Yeah.
And I looked forward to smoking it with her when we were at TPE, and I never saw her. So I had to smoke it on my own.
Me and Tim had the pleasure to hang out with her and Tom Friday night at the Resort World Lounge, mm-hmm. and we literally just sat there and had drinks and cigars all night and just shot the shit.
That's a good night. That's a good night. It's a good night.
In fact, I created a game. You want to know what the game was?
Probably not, but I think you're going to tell me anyway.
It was hey, you see that dude right there walking around with a woman? Is that his girlfriend or is that a hooker? That was a fun game. Yeah.
Okay.
It was like, yep, definitely a hooker. Look at that dude. He's ugly as shit. You see that? Come on. Yeah. You can tell by his clothes he's got money, but he's still ugly. You know what I mean? He's like, that dude's with a hooker. And then there were some guys that was like, yep, that's definitely his girlfriend. Like, I mean, I didn't know they let homely people like that come into Vegas.
Rob.
Oh, it's just a fun game.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what was funny, though, was how shocked Melanie was by our answers. I mean, she was like, y'all are so mean. I was like, no, we're just calling them the way we see them. All right, let's jump on to the next one. So we've got the Fuente Opus X. We've got the Padrones.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a brand that I normally don't get to smoke very often. It's rare.
Yes.
But they do have some cigars that I absolutely love. And the brand of this cigar is Davidoff.
Mm.
You've had a few Davidoff, I know, because I've given you some. Yes,
the only ones I've had.
And those were the, I believe they were the Double Perfecto Oscuro.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And those were fantastic.
They were.
Now.
You had some problems with yours.
Well, the first one I had no problems.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, and you know what? That's what I get for smoking two in one night. But the second one, about halfway through, it just blew up. It looked like someone had put a gag load in the side of my cigar. It just blew up. And I was like, I don't give a shit. I'm going to smoke you, motherfucker. I'm going to smoke you. You ain't getting rid of me.
I'm a soldier through this one.
I smoked the whole thing, and it was just, it looked like a joke.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I enjoyed the shit out of the entire cigar.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you got four of them for $84.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was, that $21 a piece?
Oh my God,
and yeah. I was like,
I'm smoking
you.
Yeah.
I'm coming for you.
Paid for this. I'm going through.
You know how I am. I'm cheap.
Yeah.
So anyway, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we are going to do the Showcase Showdown.
Showcase Showdown.
I don't need no destination. I got everywhere to go. I'm a walking invitation. I'm the daughter of the mother of. When I need is a distraction, when my world is closing in. Hey stranger, where you headed? Would you like to let the games begin? And he said, jump on it, cause I don't wanna be late for Thunder Road. And I said, ready.
Hey guys, thanks for hanging through that second break. Normally we don't take two, but tonight we've had enough to drink that we need another break. So,
you.
Hey, it's time for the Showcase Showdown.
All right. I'm ready.
You want to go or you want me to start?
Oh, well, why don't you start?
All right, I'm going to start. Hold up here. I'm going to start out with the Nestor Miranda Special Selection Habano. Manufactured at My Father's Cigars, you know, if they're making your cigars,
they're going to be good cigars.
They're going to be good. The wrapper is a Maduro. The binder is Nicaraguan. And the filler is a combination of Nicaragua, Honduras, and Dominican Republic.
Ooh.
That's a lot of flavor.
That's a concert right there.
It really is. So if you haven't tried the Nestor Miranda.
Miranda?
Something like that.
I'm glad you're home.
We did a few drinks while we were on break. Anyway, the next one you guys have heard of because it's been in my top three on whatever we did before. But Hooten and Young 2020.
I knew you're going to do that.
And you know what's funny is when I went to the website to look up the information for the cigar, so you folks at home would know exactly what this cigar is. I was like, well, this is on the band, it's spelled out 2020.
Mm-hmm.
On the website, it's 2020, and it says Special or something.
Okay.
Something like that. But anyway, I was like, it's not 2020. And then I was like, Well, I guess kind of it is 2020, but it's not spelled out long form in the alphabetical letters.
Okay.
So anyway, there's that. My next one was a gift from Carlos
Julio,
the Placencia Reserve 1898.
Mm.
You had one of those?
Mm-mm.
It's a powerhouse. Powerhouse. Damn. Smooth.
Okay.
But it's full flavored, okay. Full bodied.
All right.
And so the cigar is actually a 4.75 inch by 52 ring gauge box press.
Ooh.
Really nice. The wrapper is Nicaraguan, binder Nicaraguan, and filler Nicaraguan. It says the strength is medium to full. But when you get into that final third, it ain't no medium. It's just full.
Full.
And it's the flavor complex, I mean, it's has quite a bit of complexity because of the three different areas that they pulled the filler from.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, that's amazing. Like, yeah. I think more people should go out on a limb and try some of that.
Yeah.
But anyway, hats off to Placencia. They've got a badass cigar, and so do Hooten and Young and Nestor Miranda.
Oh, you said it right that time.
Third time's charm.
I'm proud of you.
That was like six.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to help you here.
Thank you.
Okay, so I would call all of my choices this week medium to full, and
medium to full, folks. Medium to full. Go ahead.
For me, they're more medium. I just haven't found that much that I consider to be really full strength. You know, I mean, I don't know, but you know.
Have you tried the My Father's Le Bijou?
I'm going to go back and try it again.
How about the Partagas Black?
Okay. That was full. That was full.
Well, no, I'm saying when I would smoke a full-bodied, full, just like, I'm going to kick your ball sack in, those are the cigars that I look for. It's like, you know what? I know I'm going to be drinking some high-proof stuff tonight. I want to get a full-bodied cigar.
Yeah.
And so those two cigars, and then there's other ones. How about the Roma Craft? You know, it's the genetic deformity in the Neanderthal.
I have not tried
the Orange Band.
Yeah, I have not tried that one.
Those are full body.
You know, I don't smoke a lot of Roma Crafts. They make great cigars.
Yeah,
but man, those bands just wear me out. You know, you got to go through so much to get the band off.
Just think about this,
and then there's another band.
Yeah, but think about this. In the 70s, think about how the rubber band man felt.
Yeah, well.
He was all about the band.
You remember, hand me that Balcones. I'm
hey, guys, yeah, and so you didn't know at home, I've been drinking this. It is the Balcones True Blue Cask Strength Single Barrel.
And what's the proof on that?
118.
Which explains a lot about Rob
It's good. It's good.
I'm going to give it a shot here.
It's good.
I cleanse this glass with some water.
Let me bless it for you.
No.
Okay.
No. And we're going to. No.
50 Hail Marys to you.
There you go, my friend. Have it back. Mm. Put it on the coaster.
I was listening to a little Bill Burr.
Woo! Hello.
Right? It says hello to you.
Wow.
I think it's delicious.
I haven't even tasted it yet.
Yeah, me neither. I'm on my third glass, but I ain't tasted shit. I just been like, whoa.
Wow.
No, it's good.
Yeah. That. Ooh, yeah.
I mean,
it is. It's
full right out the gate.
Yes, it is.
And let me just tell you, on your second and third sip, you'll be like, okay, I can see where we're going now.
Not having more than three.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A lot of bourbons that like pick you up like a rag doll on the first sip, the second one, they're lowering you into a cradle.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, this is different.
Yeah.
It's good. It's
rock goodbye, baby.
We were talking earlier about complexities about cigars.
Feel the wind blows.
Stop it now. But this has a lot of
for $15, you can find yourself some hoes. That's a redneck song.
Like I said, I would call this my choices this week were.
Yeah. Let's
Toro
get on
Tour,
that.
Medium to full. First one, unfortunately or fortunately, proves again how much we are in tune. Hootie Young 2020.
Oh, nice.
Oh, my. Sam gave, when I got back in town Wednesday, you know, we had this thing.
You know, Sam gave me one.
Yeah.
And then I went to the shop and bought one.
Yeah.
And I mean, both of them were lights out good.
Man, it was incredible.
Like, you know, sometimes you smoke one and you think it's going to be good just from now on.
Yeah.
And about two or three, four later, you're like, what did I see in this cigar? Yeah. I feel like I got, what do you call that? Catfish.
Yeah. So, you know, I haven't smoked another one. I got back in town Wednesday.
Have you had the White Band?
I have not. The only Hoot & Young I've had.
That's the Gothic something.
The only Hoot & Young I've had was that 2020.
So whenever I see the name Hoot & Young, I just want to be like, Hoot & Nanny. I don't think they would like that.
I'm not surprised.
Wow. Hoot & Nanny.
That's got some punch.
It does have some punch, but do you get even more flavors on your second go-around?
Yeah. Yes.
Wait until you teabag that glass with that bourbon in there. Bloop, bloop.
Settle, Rob, settle down. Once again, I remind you, people I know might be listening to this show for the first and only time.
Well, is there first and is there last?
Yeah. But no, this man, that was.
Hey, if you're a friend of Larry's listening to this show, we appreciate you for this one time.
No, it was a great cigar. It's smooth, has a complex profile. It's bold.
And it's a plus.
Yeah,
it's not bold. A medium. It's a medium plus.
It was bold, but not overwhelming. And it was just delicious. I smoked that cigar and I just kept thinking, ooh, what are you doing over there? Anyway, next one, the Punch Knuckle Buster Habano.
Dude, I haven't had one of those in years.
It had that oily Ecuadorian Habano sun-grown wrapper, and it has Honduran and Nicaraguan filler. It looks good. It tastes even better.
And it smokes good.
Yes, 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 yes.
So let me tell you, we were on the show one night, and Sam was with us, and I was like, you remember those chopsticks?
Yeah.
Chop suey?
Yeah, those from Punch. They had a chop.
And he was like, oh, man, I got one in my bag. And I was like, okay, cool. Because you know what? When I smoked the first time, I didn't care for it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I smoked the one he gave me, and I was like,
you go back.
That's a good cigar.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he brought me two more. Mm-mm. I smoked both of them, son of a bitches. They were good.
Probably at the same time.
Well, one of them was orally. Puff, puff.
Pass.
That's a hard pass for me.
It's kind of full flavored, but it's smooth looking and it tastes even better.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever smoked a cigar that was like super powerful, but not smooth at all?
Yeah. Can't remember what it was. And I wish I could, so I'd never smoke it again.
Trust me, you'll never smoke it again.
No,
let me tell you something.
I might remember if I
see
it.
I remember when I first got into cigar smoking. Man, I mean, I jumped right in. I was smoking right out the gate like 5 cigars a day. You know what I mean? I was like, I'm an overachiever.
Yeah.
And anyway, I was buying cigars online, like the cheapest cheap I could find. Yeah. And I remember I would buy these bundles of Victor Sinclair's Ooh. Bamboo.
Ooh.
And I thought they were the shit.
Mm-hmm.
They were strong as all get out. I mean, like, you'd be like green and shit by the time you finish this cigar. You know what I mean? But you're like, oh, that's a strong cigar right there. You know what I mean? It's like, you thought I was badass. And then, like, I don't know, 3-4 years later, somebody had one and I smoked it. And I was like, yeah, that's not for me, dude. I set it in the ashtray after 2 puffs.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's not for me.
Let it burn out quietly on its own.
But that's how your palate develops. I mean, and I don't recommend that everybody who's new does what I did, but we all have a journey.
Yeah.
And some paths are easier than others.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what makes paths a lot easier? Asking questions.
Yeah.
To those guys that know what's going on. You know what I mean? We're all happy to share with you what questions you may have.
Mm-hmm.
I've helped a lot of guys over the years that email me questions that are random. I'm like, oh, yeah. And as an experienced cigar smoker, you don't even think about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, no, you don't shit in the urinal that's for the stand up. Okay. You don't do that.
I gotta get out of here.
All right.
And the
is that your three?
No.
All right.
That was
sorry, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
The last one was a Monte Cristo Espada Habano.
Oh, yeah. Woo!
Habano wrapper from 2010 from Jalapa, Nicaragua. Is it Jalapa or Jalapa?
I think it's Jalapa.
Okay, Jalapa, Nicaragua. Blend of fillers from Jalaca. I don't know if I'm saying this
Jalaca.
Right.
Jalaca.
Jalapa.
You sound like Fozzie the Bear over there. Waka, waka, waka.
Sorry. I don't know if I'm saying this right. Ometepe and Condega.
Ometepe, yeah.
Ometepe and Condega. Yeah,
dude, if you got Ometepe and Jalapa tobacco in your cigar, you know people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those are two of the hardest tobaccos to get.
Well, I will just tell you.
Monte Cristo's got connections.
That is a cigar to try.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, the flavor there, it's
oh. I love the Habano edition and the Maduro edition. Yeah. Well, it's called the Oscuro.
Yeah.
But those two cigars, woo, Monte Cristo knocked it out.
Mm-hmm.
And the 1935 anniversary.
Mm.
Woo. I haven't had any of those while I'm feeling the itch.
Yeah. Well, we smoked them all.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Yeah.
It was a great, those cigars. So I like this one, but those you had? Oh,
well, the Oscuro blended by AJ Fernandez is lights out.
Ooh.
And you pay attention. You can find them, son of a bitches, on sale.
Okay.
I paid $4.50 a stick for them. And crazy. In the retail, they're about $16 to $18.
That was crazy. Man, that was crazy because those were some delicious, delicious cigars.
Cheers. Let's cheer on that.
Let's cheer on that.
All right. Hey, is that it?
That was three. That's it.
All right. Well, until next time, guys.
Life is short. Smoke with a friend.
Or anybody.
Yeah.
Or anybody.
Until we meet again. Happy trails to you. He's fine.
Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Just sing a song and think about sunny weather.
Happy trails to you. Till we meet.